Well, it's no secret that Rabbi Moshe Bamberger is among our favorite guests here at JM and the AM. He's got a brand new book, which I have trouble holding. That's how big and heavy and incredible this book is. It's entitled Great Jewish History. Major events from creation until today is seen through the eyes of Torah personalities. For those of you who were tuned in early this morning, I've already addressed with Rabbi Bamberger the 1967 Kotel Harabayit preference that I have and that the staff of the Nachum Segal Network has been obsessed with for the last 40 years. So we've gotten that out of the way. I want everyone to note he was very receptive to our comments, very, very receptive, as you'd expect, because Rabbi Bamberger is an absolutely amazing person. Anyway, those of you who go to artscroll.com to get the brand new book, make sure to use promo code radio. Go to artscroll.com, make sure to use promo code radio. And this is an amazing Chanukah gift, coffee table book. I can't recommend it highly enough. Rabbi Moshe Bamberger, a pleasure to welcome you back to JM and the AM.
Nachum, it's an absolute pleasure to be here again and again, and I love spending time with you.
I appreciate that. I don't know how you do this. The research that's required to put together an almost 400-page book on major events in Jewish history. You know, earlier we were discussing the whole thing with the book in 1967, et cetera. So one of the things I said was that we always had this dream here at JM and the AM to create one of those, like, NCAA brackets of most important events in Jewish history. and we always said the automatic four seeds, you know, the automatic four number one seeds have got to be, like, you know, Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah, and I mean, for us, certainly, you know, creation of the State of Israel and building an Beis HaMikdash. Like, there's almost automatically, you know, but you don't leave it to 4 or 64. You have countless incredibly important events that have happened in our history, and the research on this must have been insane. And you sometimes downplay it, but I have to assume that you were just completely obsessed with this topic for months.
Yeah, it's pretty accurate. I was definitely, I had to get reintroduced to my family at the end of the project. and it was definitely a big job and a big undertaking, but it was a labor of love. And when you do something that you love doing, you don't even count the hours and you don't even notice all of the exertion that goes into it, because it's truly what I love doing. So I'm very lucky.
Look, and the artwork and pictures, phenomenal. And I assume, I mean, you'll tell me if I'm wrong, because so many, you know, you've made books of different sizes and you've dominated the miniature book space. Can I assume that a book like this, because of its size and how thick it is, like, you had no choice but to make it into a really, you know, heavy coffee table book size?
Yeah. You know, we dominated the space of the smaller books of Baruch Hashem. We also dominated the coffee table books. We have about 6 in all now of the large coffee table books.
I didn't even realize.
We have, and you've interviewed me for probably all of them, actually. You know, the letters and the speeches, the journeys, the classics, the treasures, different, covering the Gedolei Yisrael from different angles. But this is a very unique book. This is a book that really was always a dream of mine, because I love history, but I always felt that there was a gaping hole in the genre, in the sense that, you know, history requires like a pirush, just like, you know, the Torah requires, you can't just read Chumash and without Rashi, without any of the Mefarshim, because you would be grossly misunderstanding it. So when, you know, history itself also requires commentary, because without commentary, we could totally get the wrong idea. So what I did was that I took, like you said, every major event, not just in Jewish history, but in world history.
Right.
And I added, first we gave, I wish I could show the, you know, your listeners, yeah, what the actual layout of the of each spread is, but basically it's a headline, as you pointed out, that I stand corrected about the headline about the 1967 war, and I apologize profusely for that.
No problem.
But the
trust me, most people don't make an issue of it.
And then I put a picture of the event, and then like a paragraph about the event, so you get like a feel for it. I put on the bottom of that paragraph a Ramban or a Rambam, just a one-line quote from Gedolei Yisrael, just to get like a feel for what really is the essence of that event to take away. But then on the right side of the spread, I have different Gedolei Yisrael, like in three different, let's say, different blocks on the page, bars on the page. I have, you know, three Gedolim and what they said about that event with full-color pictures and a lot of interesting sidebars and historical footnotes and so many, you know, you'll walk away from this book after you finish it with a wealth of information that I think, you know, really you'll be happy with.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say that first of all, the fourth number one seed for us was Kibush Eretz Yisrael. So that you have on page 100, just to clarify that. But halavai, based on what you just said, halavai, if every adult and child in our community would just be familiar, you know, forget about delving into every little aspect of each event, which you do brilliantly. And, you know, it's certainly worthwhile, you know, examining and reading through, etc. But just if you're making people aware of important events that have happened in the history of the world and the history of the Jewish people, for that alone, it's a major victory.
Yeah. Yeah, Baruch Hashem, we have on the top left hand corner we have the year that everything happened. So you'll be able to get like really like a panorama of history, and be able to fit a lot. Everybody knows Hanukkah, right? We're right upon Hanukkah now, a few days from now.
Yeah,
everybody knows Hanukkah. Everybody lights the menorah. Everybody talks about the Maccabees. But how many people know when Hanukkah took place in history? I would love to do like a man on the street interview and find out when people think.
Right.
Approximately Hanukkah took place. And right. I would venture to say that many, many of us would not know.
Right.
And here you have a book that really just is able to put every event in history into the proper place. You'll just be able to know, you know, what took place in what order. That alone is a very big accomplishment. Plus you get, you know, so much more, a million pictures, all colorized. You have what Gedolei Yisrael said. You walk away with a hashkafa, you know, with a Torah outlook on everything. And it's just, it's a breathtaking, I mean, I don't like to, you know, speak about myself, but I think, and it's really not me. I promise you it's not, you know, somebody asked me, you know, how did you do it? And I said, I literally don't know. I said, like, Hashem gives me the idea. He lets me sit, Baruch Hashem, by a computer and do some research. I do a little here, a little there, and all of a sudden the book comes out from art school.
Well, the bottom line is it's brilliant. And the early part, by the way, gives everyone an opportunity to become even more familiar with some of the parshios we have. You have, you know, Mama Rachel being buried near Beit Lechem, and you have Yosef resisting temptation. I mean, we're talking about parshios that literally we're going through right now, and Yosef becoming the head of Egypt, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, even those you're putting in historical context, and not that it's a bad thing, that obviously it's not a bad thing. It's a very good thing when people learn about these events through Chumash, but when you do it from the perspective of the way you're presenting it, I think it gives people a different angle. And as you said, the commentaries that you include and the tidbits that you include, all those, you know, make it a more enhanced experience, which I think is amazing. Also, some non-events get into your book. For instance, when Moshe's denied entry into Israel, which is a major event or non-event as it goes, you know, these are really important, significant things that a lot of people just gloss over, and it may not even mean much to them when they're going through the parsha or hearing Lainey. But you paint it as a major historical event, and I think that's a key.
Yeah. I also feel like it's important that I basically kept, you know, I have a great graphic artist, Razi Zitter, so we worked closely together to, like, make sure that, you know, all of the headlines, and they're like a New York Times font, so right. It gives a feel on a gray background. It makes it feel like, you know, you're sort of reading a paper in a certain way.
Right.
But the same size font from Bria Sa'ilam, from Akedah Yitzchak, all the way down the line, Tach V'Tach, Spanish Inquisition, the Holocaust, you know, the COVID, everything from beginning to end has the same size font. So it's like, you know, we're just basically reading through history. History, you know, there's no, Hashem is running the world like he did from Mount Tyra, from Yetzias Mitzrayim all the way till the 1967 war, the 1973 war. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's always been watching over the Jewish people, and he loves us, and he creates miracles for us, and we live through miracles. There's no other way to explain it.
Someone here is paying careful attention to page 92, where you talk about the Meraglim, another very, very sensitive topic here at the Nachum Segal Network. I'll have to get back to you, Rabbi Bamberger. We're going to examine it with a fine-tooth comb and get back to you. And of course, I'm having fun with you because you're one of those guests we can have fun with. By the way, it's no secret. It's a reality. And this goes all through the community. I'm not picking on the left wing of the community. I'm not picking on the right wing of the community. I'm not picking on anybody specifically. It's a known fact that we don't spend enough time studying Navi. And at least here, and I'm not saying that this is a replacement for the study of Navi, but you have to admit, at least here, if someone would go through the major events in Nevi'im and Ksuvim that you have here, they'd be much more, in many cases, they'd be much more familiar with that part of Jewish history than they are at the present time.
1,000%. I mean, I must admit, I am also, you know, I went through the yeshiva system, and I love the yeshiva system, and I Baruch Hashem flourished there. But, you know, one of the, you know, chesrenis, if you could say it that way, is that girls get to spend, I think, a lot of time on Nevi'im and Ksuvim, and boys don't. So we know Psukim and Nach through Gemara.
Right.
You know, if the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, then, you know, you'll know it. But really, you know, we should all be much more knowledgeable. In Eretz Yisrael, they have Chidon HaTanach, so everybody is, you know, really fluent there with it, I think. But, you know, in America, we focus more on Chumash, and then we jump to Gemara and Mishneh Berurah, but there's very, you know, it's, so this is hopefully going to give people at least the appetite to look into the actual original texts of Daniel and of Yeshua and of the Shaitim, and, you know, that itself is very valuable.
Rabbi Bamberger is with us. The book is called Great Jewish History. I'm highly recommending it. Go to artscroll.com. Make sure to use promo code radio. And I know you emphasized this before, but I've got to reiterate. You talk about historical events that are not necessarily Jewish. And a reminder, again, no matter where in the community one may be, the reality is there's always a Torah perspective. There's always a way for a rabbi who we respect to view specific events. In this case, I'm looking at your page about Apollo 11, where man steps on the moon. There is a Torah perspective of that, even though obviously it's not a quote-unquote Jewish event. And I know you have others as well in the book, but this is the one I saw at the moment. So I think that's an important message that everyone has to realize that there's a world perspective and there's a Torah perspective.
Yeah, you know, there was a famous Torah personality. His name was Rav Mendel Kaplan. He's not one of the household name Torah personalities, but he's very, you know, he's well known. He was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He was a Talmud of Chacham Rashim in Europe, and then he escaped the war and came to America. He became a Rosh Hashiva in Skokie and a Rosh Hashiva in Philadelphia. And, you know, he was a brilliant man. Art Scroll put out a book about him called Rav Mendel and His Wisdom, also highly recommended. And he, when he first came to America, he was a rabbi in Skokie, in Chicago. And he had a room full of American boys, and he didn't really speak English. He certainly didn't read English. And, you know, he was trying to communicate with them, but they weren't receptive to him because they didn't understand, you know, his language. He didn't understand theirs, and he was trying to teach them Gemara, and they weren't interested. And he basically said one day to them, he said, he brought in a Chicago Tribune newspaper, he puts it on the desk, and he says, "Boys, if you teach me how to read English, I will teach you how to read a newspaper." And what he meant by that was that, you know, that he had to learn English, but he wanted to teach them that every event in not just Jewish history, but in world history, you take any event that's happening today in any part of the world, if you have a Torah outview and, you know, outlook on things, you'd be able to understand it in a way that's unique and is accurate. You know, we see everything through the eyes of some writers in the New York Times or New York Post or, you know, or whatever, and we're not, so we get their slanted, you know, very biased perspective on news,
right.
And we don't you know, we don't understand what's really going on behind the scenes. And, you know, some of those Talmidim that he had ended up being, besides for great Talmid Chacham, they were great historians. One of them, the most notable of them, was Rabbi Wein, Zecherino Lebracha. He became a noted historian, and his, one of, you know, his great contributions was he was able to take events in history and really bring them to the masses through all of his tapes and all of his shirim and all of his, and, you know, this is something that he gained from Mendel Kaplan and his brilliance in showing the boys how to understand every event through the eyes of Torah.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. The building sections, the Mishkan, the Batei Mikdash, were those more difficult than the others or like any other?
No, I think they were like any other because, you know, when I had so much to work with because, you know, there's a lot of commentary, there's a lot of mefarshim that speak about all these events. You know, it was the Navi section, I think, for me was a little bit more challenging just because there's fewer medrashim and fewer maybe gedolim that weighed in on that. We don't have as much in terms of commentary to Navi. I'm not just talking about the early commentators, I'm talking about even the most recent commentators. So that was, I think, the most challenging. And of course, you know, the more recent events in history, you know, the wars on the in Israel and the you know, and COVID and you know, the more recent events where, but Baruch Hashem, there were always, we always have had the, you know, the benefit of having great rabbis who shared their lessons and their guidance with us, and so besides forgetting an actual detail of the event, you also were able to walk away from it with seeing things a little clearer, some takeaways, some historical patterns that we see, other events similar to COVID and how the Gedolim in past, you know, past decades, past centuries dealt with the plagues of Europe. And, you know, everything, you know, has its place, and we have an index in the back so you can really find anything. There's a lot of also interesting tidbits, like you said before, that scattered peppered throughout the book that also is in itself very valuable. Like, for example, and I'm not going to explain it because the viewers feel free to look at the book themselves and find all these things, but like, where did a Magen David come from? Is that, you know, why, how did that become the symbol of the Jewish people? What's the, you know, what's the background story of that? You know, and then there's a Smash Stone. I don't know how many people are familiar with it, but there's a rock that was found, and it was, and whenever you break it open, it always has a picture of the Smash that Moshe Rabbeinu met HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the first time at. And what's the background of that? What do Ramesha Feinstein say about that stone? And, you know, there's so many of these little tidbits that are, you know, I love those, you know, those little juicy ideas that, you know, that make classes so interesting. This is, I think, by the way, besides for being a beautiful Hanukkah present for your loved ones, it would also be great, and I can't stress this enough, you know, the, you know, that if every school, every, you know, high school, you know, in the Jewish high school system in America would have this book as their, you know, instead of the world history books, the non-Jewish world history books that my kids, you know, studied from, your kids probably studied from, that, you know, I don't know if you, you know, if you remember it or you've ever looked through it, but I've helped my kids, you know, go through studying for tests and things, and, you know, they bring home these books, and they have Greek mythology, they have the Chinese culture, you know, Confucius and all of his chachmas, and then they have, you know, Egyptian Avodah Zarah, and you have to study for this, you have to do this for the regents, and you're literally bringing, like, Gaya Shark, you know, Avodah Zarah, literally like an Issa D'Oraisa to study this stuff, but they have to study it, it's on the curriculum. And, you know, if this book could somehow either supplement or substitute, you know, those textbooks in our children's classroom, you know, they would really, besides for, you know, what do you walk away from those other books from, but this, you'd actually, our children would be able to have the benefit of knowing the panorama of Jewish history and a depth in Jewish history and being able to understand, you know, the events through the eyes of Torah, through what Gedolei Yisrael said, and all the fascinating, you know, parts of our own heritage. Why do we have to study other you know, countries that are even non-existent heritage, like when we can study our own? And, like, you know, besides what you said before, you know, we don't really study Navi enough. We don't study Jewish history enough. We don't understand what happened to our nation. You know, we don't see the actual sweep of history. We don't understand what anything is, where anything belongs, and what does it mean for us in our existence. And, you know, Rabbi Yaakov Emden famously said that the greatest miracle of all the miracles, he said, more than Yetzias Mitzrayim and all the years that we spent in the Midbar, and more than Kriyas Yamsuf and, you know, the splitting of the sea, is the greatest miracle of all is not those. It's the miracle of our endurance in Gullus, the fact that for 2,000 years we've been away from the Makom HaMikdash, we haven't had the Shechina with us, and yet we're somehow able, with all of the persecutions and all of the torture and all of the tragedies that mark our nation's history, we're somehow able to not just survive, but we're thriving. There's no room in the yeshivas anymore. There's no room in the Beis Yaakov. There's no room in the Kailin. There's, you know, there, we have Hatzalah, and we have Chaverim, and we have, you know, such great organizations, and from a people that were left for dead, you know, just 70, 80 years ago, and look at us today. This is the greatest miracle of all.
Rabbi Moshe Bamberger, he has dominated the small, the miniature small Jewish book space and the Jewish coffee table book space, and this one belongs in the latter. It is an amazing, brand new, large coffee table book from Art Scroll. Great Jewish history. It's a great Hanukkah gift, a great Bar Mitzvah gift, and as Rabbi Bamberger recommended, high schools and schools in general should really think about incorporating this into their curriculum. Major events from creation until today is seen through the eyes of Torah personalities. Rabbi Moshe Bamberger. It is at artscroll.com. Make sure to use promo code radio. Artscroll.com, promo code radio. Any reaction? I don't know how many days this has been out, Rabbi Bamberger. Any reaction yet?
People are really, really, really loving it. I mean, I've gotten so many emails, so many texts, so many people from all walks of life that are really enjoying it. You know, there's so much to this book that, you know, people of all age, children of all ages, as they say, you know, have what to take away from. Some people said their kids are addicted to it. They just keep on reading it again and again and looking at the pictures, even if they can't read yet. They're looking at the colorized pictures. We have literally, you know, many, many, many hundreds of pictures. Many of them have never been even printed in, you know, yet in history. Certainly not in a colorized way. And, you know, there's so many aspects from great Rosh Hashivas to the smallest of children, everything in between. We have, you know, people are really appreciating it. This is really what they describe as a game changer. You know, there's something like you can actually have in one volume the entirety of Jewish history from creation until today and get a really good Torah viewpoint. And with all the gifts, with all the benefits, you know, on the side, in the tidbits and the pictures and like you said, you know, all of the important events of history, but everything in one volume. And, you know, it's really, I really believe that if you bring this into your house, you'd bring bracha into your house, because, you know, there's no greater bracha than the gift of knowledge and the gift of understanding one's own past and one's own future. And I think that this book will really provide all of that.
Well, like I said, we're highly recommending it. What's doing in Queens? Do you still have an overflow crowd Shabbos morning in your synagogue?
Yes, but you promised that you'd come back and speak by Shal Shudas in Lander College, and I'm going to hold you to
and
that.
And you're serious about that. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
You have to go back to your daughter, I think, for Shalosh Shudas, but we tried.
Well, I'm going to try my best. I take that invitation with tremendous humility and with the intention of hopefully actually making good on it one day. Rabbi Moshe Bamberger, everybody. Great Jewish History is the name of the book. Go to artscroll.com and enjoy. Perfect for Hanukkah. Great gift in general. It's a coffee table book that will enhance your home. Rabbi Bamberger, I take this opportunity to wish you a Freilach in Hanukkah, Chag Urim Sameach, and thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Nachum, just one thing. I just want to thank you for all you do for the Jewish community at large. everybody, you know, gets so much from you. When I was a kid, I remember my mother, you know, who's Kanai Nahara in her mid-90s, she used to drive to work or drive us to school, and Nachum Segal was always on the radio. And, you know, from then on, you know, you've given Klal Yisrael so much positivity, so much chizuk, so much ruchnias and enjoyment, and seeing you have your heart is genuinely full of love, and it comes through so clearly for Medina Yisrael, for Klal Yisrael, for the Tyrus Yisrael, and I just want to wish you many, many years, Baruch Hashem Mishanim, to keep doing exactly what you're doing. Don't ever think of changing, because you're doing perfect.
Amen. Thank you so much. We were wondering how you were raised so well. Now we know the secret, JM and the AM.
Exactly.
Thank you so much. Much appreciated, and your words are really... really appreciated. All right, Moshe Bamberger, everybody, go to artscroll.com. You can order all his books, the small ones, the big ones. Every one of them has great text and great pictures. A lot of work must have gone into this. I think he underplayed just how much research and how many months and how devoted he had to be to this project to really make it what it in fact is. So a real tribute to the incredible effort by Rabbi Bamberger. Get all his books. Go to artscroll.com. And, of course, you know the rule. Always use promo code RADIO. More coming up. It's a Thursday, believe it or not. And you're listening to JM in the AM.